3 website. World Roots was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Peter Meanwell.
The BBC Proms focus on Polish music continues in the first of 2 concerts from the Oslo Philharmonic Orchestra. Its new chief conductor, Wasili Petrenko, and 2 soloists making their Proms debuts. Biba Skrida joins them for the nocturnal fantasy that is Szymanowski's Violin Concerto, with Tchaikovsky's Winter Daydreams and Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances. In the second Prom, there's Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 2 with Christian Ihler Hadland and the rugged landscape of Bruckner's Romantic Fourth Symphony. I'm Andrew McGregor. Join me for the Oslo Philharmonic's Proms starting tomorrow evening at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
Of course, as tomorrow's Monday, that's actually the second of the Proms of the day. The first is at lunchtime, Proms Chamber Music Live from Cadogan Hall in London. Fretwork give a concert of music by Dowland, joined by the tenor Ian Bostridge and the lutenist Elizabeth Kenny. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11 o'clock and it's time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. On today's show, highlights of a very special concert performance from one of the UK's most singular voices on the saxophone, John Sermon. Recorded in the historic setting of Brecon Cathedral at this year's Brecon Jazz Festival, stay tuned for that performance later on the show. And also on the programme, writer and broadcaster Bob Sinfield is here. Well, welcome, Bob. Last time you were on the show, you were investigating the resurgence of vocal jazz. What have you got in store for us today?
Today, Claire, I'm going to be looking at couples in jazz because, do you know, I have noticed a lot of fraternisation going on between these musicians. Not just 2 generations of Dankworths and Chris Barber and Ottilie Patterson, but some of the lesser-known names as well. Do you remember Jonathan and Darlene Edwards? You will before the end of the programme. But to get us in the mood, here's a little clip from the early 1920s and the very aptly named Jazz Lips, featuring a highly significant jazz couple. See if you can spot them.
Louis Armstrong and Lil Hardin Armstrong, one of jazz music's swinging partnerships. And Bob Sinfield will be back shortly to explore the theme of couples in jazz. Pianist Alex Wilson's latest CD is a combination of live and studio recordings, his first for acoustic piano trio. Drawing from experiences gathered from 2 decades of being on the road, let's hear the track Jazzmina. the CD, Alex Wilson Trio, that was the track Jasmina with David Montevani on bass and Frank Tonto on drums and Alex at the piano. And he'll be curating a Latin jazz festival at the Pizza Express in Dean Street in Soho, London. The dates of that festival are the 19th to the 22nd of September. And Alex will be pulling out all the stops to deliver a stunning lineup of some of London's finest musicians, including the fantastic Roberto Pla and his 10-piece Latin ensemble, Jason Rebello and Snowboy. New on Cardiff-based Edition Records, whose roster continues to expand and delight, is Seven Hills from Finnish pianist Alexis Tomadila. Described by Jazz Times as a unified realm of complex emotion, with each track a separate ceremony, Tomadila, who can count Brad Meldow as a fan, is joined by fellow Finn Olavi Luhawari on drums and Norwegian bassist Mats Illertsen. Let's hear them in action now with the title track, Seven Hills.
Thank you.
out now on Edition Records, the Alexi Tomarilla trio with the title track of the CD, Seven Hills. You can hear the drummer, Olavi Luhiwari, from this trio leading his own ensemble called Odorang at the opening night of the King's Place Festival in London. That festival runs from Friday the 13th to Sunday the 15th of September. Recently making waves at the North Sea Jazz Festival and the Rochester Jazz Festival in New York, Brass Jaw, the iconoclastic Glasgow-based four-piece, are Ryan Quigley on trumpet, Paul Townjo on alto sax, Konrad Wisniewski on tenor sax and Alan Bovesan on baritone. Well, they've been much praised for their engaging, entertaining and humorous performances that perfectly showcase their consistently clever arrangements alongside their accuracy and their skill. Well, here's something at a slower pace from Brass Jaw, and it's written by Ryan Quigley, and it's called I Can Hear You Smile. Taken from their new release, Minted, that was I Can Hear You Smile, written by Ryan Quigley. And the album is out now on the Keywork label. And Brass Jaw will be performing a family concert at the Wigmore Hall on the 16th of November at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. And it's aimed at everyone from 5 years old upwards. The theme is Jazz Unraveled, and it promises to be a fun hour with this gregarious quartet. So get to the Wigmore Hall on the 16th of November at 3 o'clock. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Coming up next, I'll be talking to writer and broadcaster Bob Sinfield about couples in jazz. How do they make it work and who are they? Well, I certainly know this first jazz coupling, singer Trudy Kerr and husband bassist Jeff Gascoigne, with a terrific take on a song most closely associated with the great Sammy Davis. Here's Trudy in top form with Cy Coleman and Dorothy Fields' The Rhythm of Life.
out in San Francisco, tooting on a trumpet loud and mean. Suddenly a voice said, go forth, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen. And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons ready to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, a tingle in your fingers and a tinkle in your feet. Rhythm in the bedroom, rhythm in the street. The rhythm of life is a powerful beat. To feel the rhythm of life, to feel that powerful beat, to feel that tingle in your fingers, to feel that tingle in your feet. Daddy spread the gospel in Milwaukee, took his walkie-talkie to Rocky Ridge, blew his way to Scranton, then to Scranton, till he landed over the Manhattan Bridge. Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, lit up quite an operation down below, with the Pied Piper blowing, while the Muscatel was flowing, all the cats were go-go going down below. Daddy was a new sensation, got himself a congregation, lit up quite an operation down below. Started out in San Francisco, tooting on a trumpet loud and mean. Suddenly a voice said, go forth, Daddy, spread the picture on a wider screen. And the voice said, Daddy, there's a million pigeons ready to be hooked on new religions. Hit the road, Daddy, leave your common law wife. Spread the religion of the rhythm of life. And the rhythm of life is a powerful beat, a tingle in your fingers and a tingle in your feet. Rhythm in the bedroom, rhythm in the street. The rhythm of life is a powerful beat. To feel the rhythm of life, to feel that powerful. To feel that tingle in your feet, to feel the rhythm of life, to feel that powerful beat, to feel that tingle in your fingers, to feel that tingle in your feet. Well, flip your wings and fly to Daddy. You take a dive and swim to Daddy. You hit the floor and crawl to Daddy. You take a dive and swim to Daddy. Daddy, we've got the rhythm of life, of life, of life, of life.
Judy Kerr singing The Rhythm of Life with Jeff Gascoigne on bass, taken from their album under their aliases Ted and Gladys. Bob Sinfield, welcome back to Jazz Lineup. Let's talk about this project. Why Couples in Jazz?
It's Ted and Gladys, Claire. That's what did it. This album suddenly came clattering through my letterbox, and incidentally, it's out this month. And it suddenly set me thinking about the whole vagaries and vicissitudes, if you like, of being a married couple or a couple and working together. Mm. So, but it's a potentially 24/7 situation. You've really got to get on pretty well. Mm. Luckily, Trudy and Jeff managed this brilliantly. She says that there was a certain amount of rivalry between them when they first got going, but all that has gone away. They've grown out of that, and now they just
tired now with all the children.
It could just be fatigue, couldn't it? But she says they enjoy quality time together, especially when they're touring. So that's a good recommendation.
That's fantastic. And we began the programme with a clip of Louis Armstrong and his second wife, Lil Hardin. Was theirs a lasting partnership?
Well, she was the second of four wives, so I think that tells its own tale. But they did have a very, very fruitful partnership when they were together. And it seems as though Lil Hardin was very much the driving force, because they met in the King Oliver band, where Louis was second cornet player. Mm-hmm. And allegedly, Lil's words of inspiration to Louis were, "I don't want to be married to no second cornet player." And that gave him the drive to get out of the Oliver band, where obviously he was the better player than his leader, and come into Lil's band. But then he suffered the ribbing of the kind of macho culture of the age, where they said, "Hey, what's it like to be bossed around by your wife?" Because she was the leader. Mm. And I think he began to ponder on this and wonder whether maybe this was not a very happy state of affairs. So it led to friction between them. And then they divorced in the late 30s. But ironically, they were linked in death, because when Louis died in 1971, Lil appeared at a memorial concert for him about a month later. And bless her, she collapsed with a fatal heart attack.
Oh, no.
Then. Yes.
Well, you mentioned in the introduction at the top of the show, John and Cleo Dankworth. I mean, arguably the longest jazz marriage, UK marriage. But there was another British couple who were almost as high profile in their day, Chris Barber and Ottilie Paston. Tell me a bit more about them.
That's right. Well, they almost had a parallel start to their careers to John and Cleo, where she, the singer, joined his band, and one thing led to another, and before you knew it, it was, "I now pronounce you man and wife." And they didn't go the distance quite as far as the Dankworths. John and Cleo managed 50-plus years and would probably still be together if John were still with us. Chris and Ottilie divorced in the early 1980s, but his respect for her as a musician shone through when I met him just a few years ago. He was actually quite annoyed at the time, because his record company had just put out a reissue of some of their work together. And he said, "And do you know, she doesn't even get a credit on the sleeve." And he was incensed about this. And he spoke very proudly of the way that when they went to the Deep South in America and they played these very, very hardcore blues clubs, and this Irish singer got up and sang, and the audience absolutely took her to their hearts and said, "You know, you sing like us." It was the best compliment she could have had. And Chris was very proud of that
indeed. What about Barbara Thompson and John Heisman? Now, Barbara, as we know, incredibly brave, is fighting a severe illness, but still playing, and what a credit to the scene she is.
Indeed.
Let's talk about their marriage. They've continued to work together. He's continued to support all the situations she's been in.
Certainly.
And it does work, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yes. A more together pair I've yet to meet. And they got together, they married in 1967 and still working together in all sorts of different disciplines. This is what I like about them. You know, you listen to a Jubiaba track or a Paraphernalia track or a Colosseum track, and they've all got their own different styles, but these two are just totally on top of what they're doing.
I like the fact that she's a saxophonist. You know, usually the old saying is singers and drummers, isn't it? Or
that's
possibly
right.
Singers and pianists. But
yes.
Singers and drummers are often quite
well,
a pairing.
Well, they can be.
So do you think for a successful collaboration, you know, you've got to be in tune, of course, musically, like Trudy and Jeff, and also there's lots of humour involved in this as well, isn't there?
That's right. That's quite a tradition.
Yeah. So let's talk about this next track.
Well, this next track is, I think I should put a health warning on this one. This is not to be taken entirely seriously, so please don't write it and say, "They're out of tune." They're meant to be out of tune. This is a satire, and I'm going to be a bit of a tease here, Claire, and not actually reveal the identities of the perpetrators. But they're a highly proficient jazz couple. But it just struck them as funny in the late 1950s to masquerade as a supper club duo of the worst possible kind, Jonathan and Darlene Edwards. Now, Jonathan is the kind of pianist who will never play one right note when a couple of wrong ones will do. And Darlene, as a vocalist, well, as a singer yourself, Claire, I'm sure you'll concur that Darlene belongs to the Florence Foster Jenkins School of Singing.
But you know, Bob, to sound this bad, you have to be very, very good.
That's right.
It's a real Les Dawson on the piano situation.
Les Dawson or Spike Jones and his City Slickers, all great players in order to play that badly.
Let's hear it then. So Jonathan, Darlene Edwards, and it's one of my favourite songs, Autumn in New York.
Thank you. Why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds and canyons of steel, they're making me feel like I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise of new love. Autumn in New York is often mingled with pain.
Ooh, just a clip there of Jonathan and Darlene Edwards with Autumn in New York. Who really was that?
I think that was very cruel to the listener. I'm sure they wanted more of that. Who was it? It was Joe Stafford and Paul Weston having a bit of a laugh. And if you know their work as themselves, you'll know how good they were. But that won a Grammy. Or they did two albums as Jonathan and Darlene. And it got a Grammy for Best Comedy.
Did it?
Best Comedy.
Did it?
And yet, when it came out on CD again a couple of years ago, I was browsing through a record store in central London and discovered it in the easy listening section. I think that's uneasy listening.
Fantastic. Well, yes, but big fan of Joe Stafford. And as I said earlier, hard to sing that bad, actually.
Exactly.
So tell us about a few more couples that made it, maybe not till the death us do part.
Oh, quite a few examples there. Ella Fitzgerald and Ray Brown got together in the days of the Dizzy Gillespie band of the late 40s and had a brief but musically fruitful relationship in a small group setting. But they were only married for 5 years in the late 40s and early 50s. And same could almost be said of Peggy Lee and guitarist and actor Dave Barber. They got together when they were both in the Benny Goodman Band. It's hard to imagine the King of Swing playing Cupid, but I suppose in a sort of way he did. They lasted a wee bit longer than that, and they actually wrote a couple of big hits together, one of which is used a lot in television commercials now, I notice. It's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. They
Very
also
good.
Wrote Manana is Soon Enough for Me.
But, one of my favourites.
Yeah, and in the early 50s, I'm sorry to say, that was the end of that as far as their marriage was concerned. Louis Prima and Keeley Smith, I suppose, are the most extreme example of a marriage that left scars, shall we say. There was a huge age difference between them. They married when Louis was fresh out of divorce from his previous wife. And she, in the end, got fed up with him being way too flirtatious, and she didn't like the performing as much as he did. There was far too much of it, as far as she was concerned. So it was curtains, and he took it very badly indeed. He went public and said, I want nothing to do with this woman ever again.
Did he?
Which is pretty darn final, isn't it?
Because she is one of the fine singers and still singing in Las Vegas to this day.
She is.
Keeley Smith is one of the greats.
Well into her 80s now and still doing it.
Let's talk about some English couples. Norma Winston, John Taylor, that's a fine pairing.
Absolutely, and working together brilliantly in the 70s. In fact, they approached ECM Records to work as a duo, and ECM said, we'd like you to have a trumpeter in there as well, and that's how Kenny Wheeler came into the equation, okay. And we had the band Azimuth. So Norma and John then, though sadly no longer together, and Kenny, I think, was hoping to get them together for his 80th do, but that didn't happen. But it reminds me slightly of the Azimuth project, of what's happening now with Carla Bley and Steve Swallow, and we've also got Andy Shepherd working with them on a Trios album, which is just coming out, again on the ECM label. So interesting, I would have thought, to be the third person in that setup.
On good days, yeah. But
you might have to be referee at times, but who knows?
people that I've actually met through this programme interview and the more I've just met them being on the scene that I've thought of as couples that I wanted to mention to you are Brad Meldau, the pianist, and his Dutch wife singer Florine.
Yes.
A very, very fine singer, and he's often appears on her album. The two American great pianists, Bill Charlap and Rini Rosny, they've been together for a few years now, both Blue Note recording artists. Keith and Julie Tippett back on English ground, and Mike and Kate Westbrook.
Yes, yes. Absolute pillars of British jazz over about the last 40 years, I'd say. Mm. And in Julie's case, what a switch, because she was formerly Julie Driscoll with the Brian Auger Trinity and a pop star in the late 1960s.
So it's obviously working for some people, but who was the most married man in jazz?
The most married man in jazz. I'm going to give you the top three.
Oh, good.
This is going to be like Miss World. We'll do it in reverse order. At three, a jazz and blues performer, recently deceased, calling himself T. Model Ford, obviously his real name. Six wives, 26 kids.
26 kids.
It's amazing he found time to record anything. At number two, big name in the world of big bands, Artie Shaw.
Okay.
Eight wives, and very famous ones among them, Ava Gardner, Lana Turner. Not just film stars, though. He went for novelists as well. He was a novelist himself at times, and he was married to the author of Forever Amber, Kathleen Windsor. And also for a time, he had composer Jerome Kern as a father-in-law.
Wow.
So, again, a busy boy. Mm. But even he was dwarfed by the number one. Again, from the world of big bands, Charlie Barnett. 11 wives.
Okay.
He could have had his own women's football team. I had to tackle him about this when I met him in his retirement home in San Diego. 1988, I was making a programme for the BBC, so I had to ask him about the band days and what it was like trundling around the US in one of those big band buses where you've got about 18 guys and one female singer.
Can't imagine.
Wouldn't you love to have been in that situation, Claire? Charlie Barnett had a very strict rule about this. He said, if she sings good, don't mess with her. So there, you would have been safe after all.
Very good. Well, we've talked about many people on the scene from, you know, years ago. Let's talk about couples that are new on the scene, especially somebody I'd never heard of before, who's an Albanian singer, Elana Duni. And she is in a partnership with Swiss pianist Colin Vallon. Tell me more.
Well, she hails from Albania, but is now based in Switzerland, and that's where he comes from. They're working together, singer and pianist, with bass player Patrice Moret and drummer Norbert Plamate. And they've just released an album this very autumn, which translates into English as Beyond the Mountain. I'll spare you my schoolboy Albanian there. Giving you the original title. But basically, it's Albanian folk tunes given a jazz sensibility and a jazz twist.
It's on ECM, which seems very fitting for that kind of idea.
Yes, couldn't be more appropriate. And I'd like you to listen on this track to the kind of symbiosis between the two of them. I think you can tell that there's a bit of mental telepathy going on there, because the interplay between the voice and the piano, I think, top rank.
Rakamba, rakamba na epapandisa. Rakamba na epapandisa, gruvai zota fesh na klisha. Rakamba, rakamba na ditri. Mama ga postani, e ya.
Ilana Dooney Quartet and Ra Kambana. And that was chosen by Bob Sinford as your last Couples in Jazz track. It's been great fun. I'd like to just talk about one of my favourite jazz pairings, jazz couples, very successful. The very uber glamorous and extraordinarily gifted Ilani Elias, and of course her her husband, Mark Johnson, who plays the bass and produces her, her records and goes on the road with her and is a very lucky man, if you ask me.
I would say so.
This is an album called Bossa Nova Stories that we all just melted over because she reharmonises it beautifully. She sings great. There's a fabulous orchestra and it's just everything you want. I'd like to play out on Desafinado because she sings it beautifully and hopefully you'll enjoy this track. Thanks very much for coming in again.
Well, Claire, I've only one thing to say to you. Will you marry me?
Se você disser que eu desafino, amor, saiba que isso em mim provoca imensa dor. Só privilegiados têm ouvido igual ao seu. Eu possuo apenas o que Deus me deu. Se você insiste em classificar meu comportamento diante musical, eu mesmo mentindo devo argumentar que isso é bossa nova, que isso é muito natural. O que você não sabe nem sequer presente é que os desafinados também têm um coração. Fotografei você na minha Rolleiflex, revelou-se a sua enorme gratidão. Só não poderá falar assim do meu amor, esse é o maior que você pode encontrar. Você com a sua música esqueceu do principal. É que no peito dos desafinados, no fundo do peito também bate calado. E no peito dos desafinados também bate um coração. Você não sabe nem sequer presente é que os desafinados também têm um coração. Fotografei você na minha Rolleiflex, revelou-se a sua enorme ingratidão. Só não poderá falar assim, meu amor, esse é o maior que você pode encontrar. Você com a sua música esqueceu do principal. É que no peito dos desafinados, no fundo do peito também bate calado. É que no peito dos desafinados também bate um coração.
the sensuous and sublime Eliane Elias with Desafinado by Jobim, with her husband Mark Johnson on bass. And you can hear Eliane on the 28th of September at the Union Chapel in Islington in London. And that was my choice to round off Bob Sinfield's Couples in Jazz feature. Thanks again to Bob for coming in. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. We're now for tonight's concert set, and we bring you highlights of the John Sermon Trio performance that was recorded at Brecon Cathedral as part of this year's Brecon Jazz Festival. It was recorded on Sunday the 11th of August, and the cathedral hosted an array of concerts and events during the festival, plus performances peppered throughout the day by the Laura Gerd Quartet and Quercus, both of which we'll bring you over the next coming weeks. Before we hear music from the John Sermon Trio, Jazz Lineup was lucky enough to catch up with John and asked about his previous relationship with Brecon Jazz Festival and what he felt about the cathedral as a performance space.
This is my third appearance in Brecon at the festival. I think the first one was a good many years ago. I don't know, could it be 20 years or more? I did a duo concert with Karen Krog, a Norwegian singer. And then a couple of years ago, I was here again with a group of string players. And this is the first time with Chris and John Marshall. And actually, the real joy this time was to see Brecon in the sunshine. Because unfortunately, both of the previous visits, it was raining. And by goodness, it was raining. So all of a sudden, you know, coming here in this situation, you could see the real beauty of it, see the beacons it really is a beautiful place. And it is a beautiful building, and there's all this history. There's music in the walls. When I came here today, there was the service was on, and I heard the Onward Christian Pilgrims being sung with a great deal of energy, and I thought, yeah, that's nice. And it's lovely to hear the organ in like this. Preparing for this is really, in a way, is to keep things as open as possible, because the music then is free to, you know, if we really can work with the room and we can work with the audience, if we can take the music into different places. So, you know, we have a certain amount of material that we think we might play, but we don't know how much of that material we'll use. And a great deal of the music that you hear in the concert is actually completely improvised, and the pieces can take, you know, different forms. So, but it's sometimes nice just to have some points of departure and some points of arrival, so that you can be improvising, and then you think, oh, if we went there, that would make a nice. It's a way of moving atmospheres. It's a way of creating different kinds of textures, and, you know, things that you cannot do purely improvised, unisons and specific things with different length bars and so on. So we just have some material that we can pop in that allows us to do that, and the rest of the time, let's see what happens.
Well, let's have a listen now to the John Sermon Trio, with John Sermon on saxophones, John Marshall on drums, and Chris Lawrence on bass, and they open with Where Fortune Smiles.
Thank you. Thank you. John Marshall, Chris Lawrence, and I'm John Sandman. Thank you.
John Sermon Trio with Danza, and before that you heard Where Fortune Smiles, recorded at Brecon Cathedral as part of this year's Brecon Jazz Festival. Remarkable synergy between the players throughout that set, I'm sure you'll agree. John Sermon also sounding better than ever, and the trio delivering a brilliant and creative palette of sounds without a chordal instrument. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on digital radio. Very sad news recently as the jazz world mourns the loss of two great piano players, Marion McPartland and Cedar Walton. Marion McPartland, the genteel Englishwoman who became a fixture of the American jazz scene as a pianist and later in life as the host of the internationally syndicated radio show Marion McPartland's Piano Jazz, died on the 20th of August at her home in Port Washington, New York. She was 95. Radio 3's Alan Shipton recorded a jazz library show for her 92nd birthday in 2011, and that's available for download from the Radio 3 website. Cedar Walton, a pianist and composer who worked with almost every major jazz performer of his era, from John Coltrane to Art Blakey to Abbey Lincoln, and who was honoured as a National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master, died on August the 19th at his home in Brooklyn, and he was 79. Always upbeat and jovial, he was a dear friend to many of the UK's jazz musicians. Well, let's hear a track from The Great Man, from his second album, recorded in 1968 and released on the Prestige label. It's the opening track and it's called Higgins Holler. It features Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Clifford Jordan on tenor sax, Jacques Dejanet on drums and Richard Davis on bass. It's taken from the album Spectrum. Let's hear him on piano, Cedar Walton. Thank you. taken from the album Spectrum. That was Higgins Holler, played by Blue Mitchell, Clifford Jordan, Jack DeJohnette and Richard Davis, and of course on piano, Cedar Walton, whose composition that was and who we're remembering as he sadly passed away on August the 19th. Well, that's almost the end of the show, but remember, plenty more jazz on Radio 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday night. This week he celebrates composer and multi-instrumentalist John Zorn's 60th birthday and features live recordings from the archives. And on next week's jazz lineup, I'll be presenting more concert music recorded at Brecon Cathedral as part of the Brecon Jazz Festival. And this time we're featuring trumpeter Laura Jerd and her quartet. To finish tonight, brand new on ACT Records from former EST drummer Magnus Ostrom, who's playing at the Isla Jazz Festival, which runs from the 13th to the 15th of September. He'll be there on the 14th and 15th. And also he's playing at Ronnie Scott's in London on the 16th and 17th of September. Well, here's a track from his new album, Searching for Jupiter, and it's The Moon and the Air It Moves. Till next time from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
This is BBC Radio 3. Welcome. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Through the Night with me, Katriona Young. Romania plays host to our concert tonight. It was given in Bucharest just before Christmas 2011 by Tomasz Bugai and the Romanian Radio National Symphony Orchestra. Two Polish works on the programme by Lutosławski and Szymanowski, but first a homegrown composer, the multi-talented George Enescu, equally proficient as violinist, pianist, teacher and conductor. And this is homegrown music too, one of the rhapsodies he based on Romanian folk tunes. He was studying in Paris at the time. I suppose working on them there might have been a comforting reminder of home.
Thank you.
Enescu's second Romanian Rhapsody, played at a concert given in Bucharest in 2011 by the Romanian Radio National Symphony Orchestra under Tomasz Bugai. Next, they turned to Poland and a set of variations Lutosławski wrote for himself and Andrzej Panufnik to play on two pianos at one of Krakow's musical cafes during World War II. He then made this version for piano and orchestra. The theme, of course, is Paganini's.